This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, Diane and the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you information of special interest to new migrants to Dunedin. Welcome to Settlement Information with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou, nau mai, anō. Welcome back to Citizens Advice Bureau or Te Puti Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa Show. Ko Anna Tokuinga, I'm Anna and I'm the manager at Citizens Advice Bureau here in Dunedin. Our guest today is Garth Sheenan, the Ethnic Liaison Officer with New Zealand Police here in Aotearoa. We're going to have a kōrero about safety in the home. Aotearoa is generally a safe and peaceful place to live, but it is still important to know how to stay safe for yourself and for others to feel safe. And getting to know your neighbours connects people and goes a long way to keeping your community safe. So, kia ora, Garth. Welcome.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
What are some things people can do to help out and connect with others on their street?
Sweet. So, obviously, if you're looking at sort of aligning yourself with the locals down your street and so forth, you know, start communications, talking to them, getting to know them, kind, friendly wave here and there. Ask them if you can help them around their property in any way. If they're ever going to be away, you could perhaps feed the cats or check their mailbox and do that sort of stuff. And just be a bit vigilant, keep your eye out and see if there's anything happening in the streets that's seem a bit out of place, and you can talk to your neighbours about who should be on their property and so forth. Best advice is just to be kind, be friendly, say hello, and yeah, just start off the introductions there, that way.
Yeah, that's always the key, isn't it? Just right at the start when you first move in or someone else moves in, isn't it? Just to start off in that way and assume everyone will be friendly rather than assuming the opposite, you know?
Exactly.
It's always a good way to start, isn't it?
Yeah,
so just before we go any further about tips for staying safe for your family and yourselves and your belongings, it is important to note that at any time people do feel worried or fear for their safety, they can and should call the police, and that includes any type of discrimination. Because experiencing any form of hate, such as bias or prejudice, can cause people to feel scared and fearful, maybe harmful to the recipient of such behaviour. And hate does include being targeted because of identity, race, religion, sexuality, gender, age or disability. And in fact, harassing you to make you fear for your safety is a criminal offence. So can you just tell us the difference between criminal and civil harassment?
Yeah, so I think you nailed it on the head there when it starts to put an individual, you know, starts to make them fear for their safety. That sort of escalates it into our threshold where it becomes sort of a criminal investigation or can lead to that. So if it's ongoing, you know, and it's just creating a bit of uncertainty for that particular individual, unsettledness, not wanting to go outside, not wanting to turn on the computer, you know what? I'm not wanting to do anything, and then police can look at it with a much more wider lens. If you think you're being harassed, I'd always go to the police first. It's easier to come from the top down, and if it is a civil matter, we let you know rather than it thinking it's a civil matter, then it's actually a more of a criminal.
So it's really if it's intentional, isn't it, too? But you say, you'd still rather people came to you and you can point them in the right direction.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. So what are some examples of harassment?
It varies a bit from ongoing, you know, loitering, stalking or following someone. Recording them without their, you know, put the camera up in the face. But the thing for police is we're looking for repeated patterns. So harassment is sort of like a trespass where you can be warned first. And then keeps on occurring, and we start looking at this person's doing something to harass someone. Again, going on to someone's property without their consent over and over again, calling the cell phone, hanging up, or, you know, knocking on the door and walking away, all that stuff starts to create a pattern of that other person's behaviour that leads police to identify it as a harassing and whatever intentional way they, you know, they're going about their business. So, yeah, if it makes you feel unsafe or you think someone's recidivist in their emotions, then, yeah, let us know.
Yeah. And so, yeah, what do they do? What is the sort of the steps or the process they would take or what they would need to sort of have as evidence, I guess, if they experience harassment or hate?
Yeah, and that's a good point. First of all is to come to the police, let us know. It needs to be recorded as at least as a first step. And like I mentioned before, if we have a footstep as one form of harassment, and then we can see that someone's done exactly the same, let's say a month, 2 months, 3 months later, then we can go back and look at that and we can see that continued pattern. It's a lot trickier for us to deal with stuff that has happened but hasn't been reported or recorded. Mm. So the template for us is report it and then continue to report that same continuous behaviour so we can uplift it or progress it through to an harassment notice.
Yeah, and you've got all those incidents and there's a pattern, like you say.
Exactly.
But, you know, when they first feel it though, or something's happening, they should always just go somewhere safe, shouldn't they?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously,
get away.
You know, get away, find that support network they've got there. And if they do have any evidence, that's awesome. But we know sometimes, you know, it might have been the day before you saw them scamper in the backyard or door knock or a phone call from a private number where you can't really identify that particular person, but you have a fair idea. That just assists with us. You know, we can do our investigative work and leave it all up to us. Yeah.
Yeah. And if someone sees, witnesses someone else getting harassed, you know, do you think what's the deal there? They should support that person. I guess it depends. It's a case by case basis. Again, how safe they feel.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I mean, the police won't put pressure on anyone to come forward if that's the case. But if you do want to be supportive, then by all means, help that other individual who is being harassed out by letting police know what you've seen. Sometimes people are a bit unsure and don't want to do that, but we will not put names down and we can keep things anonymous for a period of time if it makes you feel better.
And so tell us about your role as the police ethnic liaison officer and how someone would contact you if they needed to speak to you specifically. Tell us how that process works.
Yeah, cool. So first of all, my role as the ethnic liaison officer is to be a bit of a bridge or a bit of a hub between the police and the community. And the channels go both ways. So if there's anything the police would like to get out into the community, then I'm that filter. And if the community's wanting to get information back to the police, then again, you can use me as that avenue to just make sure that everyone in our community is feeling safe. So it's education, information, and yeah, I play a pivotal role in making sure that, you know, voices are heard where they should be. How you can contact someone like me, you come to our watch house or call any of our police numbers, you can be put through or asked to get information to the ethnic liaison officer for the Otago coastal area, which is what I look after. I do have cards, and on a case-by-case notice, I might have put my cards out in the community as well. So if you know someone who might be you know, a mentor or a leader in one of the cultural groups, whether it be religious, ethnic, or anything, they might actually have my details. So, yeah, I'm contactable, phone number or email,
And when you say the watchtower, that just you just mean going into the police station and talking to the people at the desk, don't you?
Apologies, And that's probably the best case. They're lovely there and they know exactly who I am and will let me know that you've come in and said hi and I'll reach out to you.
Yeah, perfect. So let's just have a wee chat about what the police advice is to the listeners about keeping your property and your personal belongings safe.
Yeah, cool. So personal stuff like vehicles, pays to keep them locked at all times if you're not in them. So that could be cars or lock your motorbike, push bikes if you've got a lock, you know, use stuff like that. Anything to deter people away. So if you've got steering locks or car alarms, you know, they're a good deterrent away. And just keep your car sort of parked away off the street if you can, maybe in a garage just to hide it away. Also have a separate set of keys just in case something does happen to your vehicle. And if you've got any personal or expensive belongings, make sure they're with you at all times, just so you know where they are, especially if you've got you know, cell phones, wallets and all that, keep them in your bag. I guess you could also talk about your property as well. You keep your house nice and tidy, low-cut bushes and all that sort of stuff, makes it look like someone's there. As well, it allows you the access to look out and make sure there's nowhere that people can sort of bunker down and hide. I guess protection if someone knocks at your door. You know, if you're not expecting anyone, then I'd be a little bit cautious. So make sure you know who's at the door before you open it to anyone. And again, if they're from a company or a business, make sure you can see some credentials. A high vis and a clipboard doesn't necessarily tick the boxes, so make sure they know or you know that they are who they say they are. If you are working in your backyard and stuff like that, make sure the front yard's all secured or make sure the front door's locked, just because you might be in the backyard for a wee while and you won't have eyes on the front part of your estate. Yeah, valuables. I mean, a lot of people can see through windows and stuff. So if you've got expensive items, maybe put them in places where not visible from the street, where someone can peek in and have a wee look. Always sort of keep receipts for any of your property that you get as well, especially if it's high-end items, just in case something does go wrong. You've got a proof of purchase if something does go bad. Yeah, take photos for insurance purposes as well. Serial numbers are crucial for insurance companies to sort of, you know, pay out if you are insured. So, yeah, keeping all that stuff in a safe place. Yeah, the main thing is just locking up. I know New Zealand is perceived to be a safe place, but you can, you know, make yourself feel a wee bit safer by making sure everything's locked, including your front doors and your car doors and all that stuff.
And I just thought I'd note here, because the other thing is sort of how to keep safe in a disaster or an emergency, and we have done a previous radio show on that, and so the listeners can access that podcast. It was from back in September 22, which was about emergency management and advice and tips, so we're not going to go over that again today. So another thing, some people might have tools, mightn't they, you know, and they can become expensive. You don't want them to go missing. So if people have tools, how can they protect them and keep them safe?
Yeah, a high target here. We get a lot of reports of theft of tools. A lot of builders and people who use, you know, very expensive machinery and stuff. Again, if they are in a vehicle, you know, make sure the vehicle's locked, but try to avoid, you know, keeping the higher end stuff in the vehicle if you can. Or if they are in the vehicle, see if you can get it off the road and into your property, maybe behind a garage door. Keep serial numbers similar to the comments before. Make sure you've got a good itinerary of all your items in case some stuff does go missing or you are a victim of a burglary. You can be accountable for some of those items. Strong locks, you know, huge deterrence again. Yeah, if you've got a garage door, look like a nice bolted lock there or something where someone's going to walk past and not even look at it again and be like, oh, on to the next one. And I guess, you know, if things do look suspicious, report, because you might be surprised at who has CCTV footage in the neighbourhood. And if someone's doing a bit of snooping, we can always, you know, have a look around their CCTV footage. But also if you've got a car on the street because you don't have a garage, you know, maybe look at it, getting a camera that faces towards the vehicle at night, so if there is a break-in, then we can have that as the evidence to support any further prosecutions if that's the case.
Yeah, good advice. So something else that is important to consider is all about the safety around alcohol and particularly with family and personal safety, you know, because we all know it, alcohol can impair your judgment and potentially make you more vulnerable to being a victim of crime or doing something that you wouldn't normally do if you weren't under the influence. So what are some of the tips for staying safe in regards to your personal safety and alcohol?
Yeah, awesome. So I guess, you know, always tell someone where you're going and your plans and sort of when you expect to be home. And then it gives them a better idea of, you know, when they should expect you. If you have come into any issues, then, you know, at least they can ring us and you had a plan beforehand. You're not home, so we can make some inquiries. Obviously, if you are walking, use well-lit areas and stay on the main streets. It tend to be safer than some of the darker off-streets. Yeah, look out for each other and stay with others just to make sure everyone gets home. There's a bit of security in numbers as well. Highly less likely to be a victim if you're around a few mates or a larger party. Make sure your phone's fully charged. You know, you'd hate to get into an incident and have 2% of your battery left before you're trying to call for help or get hold of family members. Yeah. And it's good to pre-plan. If you know you're going to be drinking and alcohol might, you know, change some of your plans, but pre-plan so you've got that idea in your head, whether it's an Uber on the way home or a taxi, and you already know what to do. But also while you're drinking, drink water as well. It minimizes the impacts of the alcohol on your system. And eat. Eating's pretty crucial. It, you know, creates a bit of base so the alcohol won't affect you as much. Again, belongings, if you have to go out at night, minimize what you're taking, and if you're going to take your expensive stuff, make sure it's somewhere safe that you know it's safe, whether it's next to you or behind the bar and security there looking after it, or, you know, your friends looking after it. If you get separated, have a plan. It's always good to have a plan, especially if you're not familiar with the area. Have some extra cash. If you lose your card, then you can rely on some of that money. And vice versa, if you lose your cash that you're going to use, you've also got your card. I guess the last one would probably be vigilant as well when you're out and about. You know, there's a lot of other stuff outside of alcohol that makes its way into our bars and our drinking places. So, we're not a place that's not known for having some incidents, especially with a student town. We get a lot of spiked drinks, and you know, sometimes you just got to keep your eye on your drink and never leave it. If you need to go to the toilet, just give it to a friend to look after and keep yourself safe. And just don't drink anything that you haven't ordered or purchased yourself.
Yeah, just to clarify to the listeners, the spiked drink means, you know, someone might drop something in your drink that will impair your judgment and make like bad things can happen to you. But yeah, so it's just really important to just never drink anything that you haven't seen opened or opened yourself, and 100% of the time watch your drinks. So with teenagers is sort of slightly different, or there's other tips and advice, I guess, and the risks for teenagers. And I guess it's good to point out, like we all sort of know, that not drinking is really the safest option, especially when people aren't old enough. There's always that time where it's, you know, where you're managing that with your teenagers. But some general advice for whānau and family is that remembering teenagers are always learning, and you know, to be responsible. And what are some of those things that parents should bear in mind regarding teenagers and alcohol?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is communication. If you don't know what your kid's up to, then you can't really help them. And it's a bit about trust too. So just give them a bit of guidance in making good decisions for themselves. You know, a lot of the times the parents or family members are the providers of the alcohol initially for some of our teenagers first up. So make sure that, you know, if alcohol is going to be part of their life, maybe introduce it later on, you know, when they are a wee bit more mature, and smaller amounts. I know binge drinking's a culture in New Zealand where we tend to drink a lot and quite fast. Just remind your teenagers of just the implications and just what alcohol can do to a body. But again, it comes back to that communication. If you're openly talking with your teenagers about alcohol and alcohol consumption, then hopefully you get a better understanding of where they are at in terms of their introduction to alcohol, and make yep. sure if they are going to a friend's party or something like that, that there is a supervisor, or you're going somewhere where you know that if something does go astray, that there's people there that are willing to look after them or call police or, you know, let them know if the incident has occurred. And a zero need to drive, especially if you're a teenager and you've got your restricted learners or your full license. If you're under the age of 20, there's a zero allowance policy. So do not drink and drive if you're a teenager at all. Otherwise, you run the risk of, you know, impacting, you know, your chances of getting jobs or, you know, all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah.
But like going back to you before, you know, sometimes no alcohol is the best policy. And,
yeah,
I know you can fall into the trap, but, yeah, just if you're talking to your teenager, that's the best bit of advice that we can do. As long as they're open and honest with you and you're open and honest with them, that trust goes a mile.
Yeah. Okay. What about keeping children safe? You know, we're all responsible for keeping children safe in our families and communities. So it's important for children to know how to identify unsafe behaviour and what to do if they feel unsafe. So, yeah, I think, could you just talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, again, it comes back to that communication. Even with the younger children, quite often they are more observant than we are, picking up on things. So listen to them and take notice of any unusual behaviour that they are doing. And just, you know, keep an open discourse with them if anything's going astray, whether it be at school, around the house, or with their friends. It pays to know where they are as well. So a child wants to stay at a friend's place, make sure you know who the parents are, get to know them first, make sure they're trustworthy. And if you are having to get someone to look after them because of other commitments, like a babysitter or a caregiver, just make sure that they are, you know, credited as well. Yeah, you can provide your kids as well with the contact numbers like 111 if they are in an emergency. It's an easiest number to remember here.
Yeah, perfect. So we just thought we'd also say here that if you or somebody you know is experiencing family harm, there's a lot of information regarding this over two podcasts on the ORFM website, again, under our program, Resettling in Aotearoa with CAB. We recorded on the 8th of November and the 12th of December, and they're both titled Family Violence, Your Rights and Supports. There's a lot covering those situations. So if the listeners want to go back and listen to that, that's probably a good idea. We have come to the end of our show for this evening. Ngā mihi kia koe Garth for the kōrero and with you this evening. Really appreciate your time. Thank you to our listeners, Tago Access Radio and Jeff, for hosting us this evening. We're going to be back again next month with Garth to continue our conversation about being and feeling safe and tips for crime prevention. You can contact CAB at 471-6166 or 800-367-222 or walk in 155 Princess Street or email us via our website under Find a CAB. Noho ora mai, stay well, Matiwa.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.